Welcome to the Fansmanship.com podcast, coming to you from San Luis Obispo, California.
Where you stand?
LA living gridlocked in the fast lane. Trying to strike a rich match, play my cash game. At least a couple degrees from the coast.
What's going on, everybody? It's Owen. Welcome to the Fansmanship.com podcast. It's been a little bit of a hiatus for the Fansmanship podcast, and so I guess I'll start off by apologizing or addressing that. It's been a month or two since I've posted a podcast here on Fansmanship.com. I actually had a baby. Well, I didn't have a baby. My wife was responsible for delivering said child, our second, but in lieu of podcasting, I've been, trying to take care of a couple of kids. So I'm glad that you bared with me if you're listening to this one. And this is one I've been wanting to do for a while. And I actually taped it a few weeks ago. It's with UC San Diego Associate Athletic Director Ken Gross. Ken was in the athletics department when I was in school at UC San Diego around between, 1999 and 2003. When the Tritons and their athletic program moved from Division III to Division II, for at least the second time, a ballot measure has been introduced for the students to vote on. They're going to vote in May for UC San Diego to go to Division I and to move to Division I. And were they to move to Division I, there's a likelihood or a chance possibly that they could be in the Big West Conference. If I sound like I'm gushing a little bit during my time talking to Ken and thinking about UC San Diego in Division I, it's because it's something that that I always kind of wished for when I was in school, for the school that I had gone to be a Division I school, and certainly is still something that's pretty exciting to me, as I know it is to a lot of UC San Diego students and alumni and people around UC San Diego athletics. So it is something I'm excited about. I'm not afraid to say that I think it's a pretty cool deal if they can do it. I know there are lots of things involved in becoming a Division I program. It's like a 3-4-5-year process in terms of the transition stages, etc. But if the students pass the ballot measure, the vote that they have coming up in May, then things start to move. And and especially being here in San Luis Obispo, to me it would make sense for UC San Diego to be the 10th Big West school in terms of, just kind of symmetry, having a 10 team league in the Big West. UC San Diego certainly has all the major sports and the core sports to make it happen. And they have other non-core sports too that would fit in nicely, including things like women's water polo and kind of random sports in that realm too. So UCSD seems like a really great fit. The whole San Diego media market benefit for the Big West may not be as important, may not be as impactful as, it kind of seems like on paper because of the, the market share that San Diego State has down there and so forth, but it's not nothing. And so it'll be interesting to see. I was happy to talk to Ken Gross, ask him some questions. I probably didn't ask him all the questions I should have, but I hope you enjoy the conversation. If you're interested in, what it's like to think about moving to Division I for a school like UC San Diego. UC San Diego, of course, is the school in La Jolla down there in the northern part of the coastal area of San Diego. And so I'm excited about it as an alum there. I'm excited if they are, especially if they're part of the Big West eventually, being that they might, come up here and visit here in San Luis Obispo at Cal Poly. And since the Big West is something that I spend a lot of time following, I was, happy to talk to Ken. And he actually brought it up first, so it was an interesting conversation I had with him. I'll let you listen to it. It's Ken Gross on the Fansmanship.com podcast. And hope you enjoy it. Thank you.
Here with Ken Gross, the Senior Associate Athletics Director at UC San Diego. Ken, how's it going?
Great, Owen. Great. Everything's good. Everything's good down here in San Diego. The rain's finally stopped. Sun's coming out, and we're
looking forward to a big weekend.
Yeah, some unusual rain for San Diego. Maybe not so unusual for this time of year, but definitely you know, not the norm down there. As a lot of people know, I'm a UCSD alum, and I remember sitting at one point at a basketball game after UC San Diego went from Division III to Division II, maybe 2001 or 2002, and thinking to myself, like, there's no reason why UC San Diego shouldn't be Division I. And now it's coming to a vote, and I know this isn't the first time that the students have voted on moving to Division I. They'll be voting May 16th through the 20th on whether to make that move as a university. Can you kind of take me through the particulars? It doesn't have to be the last 15-year, you know, history of UC San Diego athletics, but can you take me through the particulars of kind of who decides that you know, this is something that UC San Diego is trying to do, kind of what the process has been, and maybe how you guys have tried before too.
Yeah, sure. And I'll give you a quick history, try to be as brief as I can.
Yeah.
We have had, the school's about 50 years old, roughly, and we've had an NCAA athletic program since 1981. We had been NAIA, moved to NCAA Division III, 81. Very successful there, one of the top, I'd say, four or five schools every year in the country in terms of Director's Cup standings, that kind of thing. Moved to Division II in the fall of 2000, had been a member of the CCAA, as many of the Big West schools were previously, and have managed to be a top 10 for most years Director's Cup team in Division II, even though we have not until recently had scholarships. So we've been, you know, operating with that challenge in front of us and still been able to be successful here at Division II. And so now we're looking at potentially moving to Division I. It's been, we had a vote on it about 4 or 5 years ago, and honestly, it was one of those situations where we ran into a perfect storm of negativity. And so many people at that time said, we want to make this happen, but just not now. And the economy had kind of gone in the tank. There had been a lot of fee hikes that just got started coming to vogue here in the UC system. And the Occupy movement was kind of happening in colleges across the country. And all of a sudden, we just got caught up in that and were literally just kind of run out of the building, if you will. So
sure.
That was about 4 or 5 years ago. The climate about whether it's a good move for UCSD is, I think, better. It wasn't bad before, but much better now. The economic climate is better. I think that we're more prepared for the questions that people ask, and we've done, a very good job of trying to educate the campus, not just the students, but faculty and staff as well, and the community on what this move would mean. And this will be a student vote. They'll 20% of the student body needs to vote to make it official. I'm pretty sure that will happen easily, and it's a simple majority that it needs to pass it. So this would provide a additional student fee that we have right now.
Uh-huh.
It would roughly double our budget and give us what we feel we would need to be competitive at the top level in the Big West.
Got it. And you mentioned the Big West. So I know, you know, obviously, I mean, I'm up here in San Luis Obispo now. I see a lot of Big West teams come through, and I always, you know, I make this point to friends, and I have for the last couple of years when I tell them that I went to UC San Diego, that kind of which school is out of all the UCs, right? Which is UC San Diego more like? Are they more like, you know, Davis and Santa Barbara and Riverside, and Irvine or Riverside too? Or are they more like, you know, UC Santa Cruz or UC Merced or UCSF? There's not really any in-betweens at this point. Schools like Davis and Riverside have gone to Division I and have been successful in doing so. And I really feel like, you know, it's exciting for me being up here on the potential of San Diego, you know, athletics coming up, UCSD athletics coming up here, and competing in that conference. I know neither party can really do anything until the Division I vote is finalized. Is my perception of that correct in terms of conference?
Well, we could, but I think your perception is correct in what the reality is. And I mean, I probably shouldn't have acted like the Big West is a foregone conclusion. It's not. I mean, we get this referendum passed.
Right.
That takes care of the financial necessities for us, but we still need to get an official invitation from an existing Division I conference. And I said Big West because the Big West is the conference that would make the most sense. There are four other UCs in the conference, so there'd be some brethren there.
Yeah.
And I think that the other schools in the conference have more in common with us in the schools we're grouped with right now in Division II and in the CCAA.
Yeah, I can't be in more agreement, and it's something that I think, you know, just makes so much sense. I'm just interested in it from a kind of a personal standpoint too, because I get to see my alma mater come up here and not have to travel all the way down to San Diego. Can you tell me just contextually for people who don't know about all the athletics at UC San Diego? I think I counted 19 NCAA sports on your guys' website this morning. And I can't even imagine how many student athletes actually are affected. Can you help me kind of understand some of those numbers? Maybe I know it's kind of off top of your head.
We have 23 sports. And
23.
All of
okay.
them compete in NCAA except for our men's crew, which competes at a national collegiate championship.
Okay.
But we have about 600 student athletes. So it's our campus right now is right under 30,000.
Got it.
25,000 undergraduates, quite a few more than when you were here.
Yeah, yeah. I think there were maybe like under 20,000. I feel like.
I have a pretty good sense of what the Big West is all about. I went to school at Long Beach State myself.
Yeah.
Also worked for 6 years at the University of the Pacific when they were in the PCAA.
Right.
So very familiar with most of the schools, and I would say that to the Big West we would bring obviously another very strong academic institution. We have a great history of success competitively, and in many of those cases, in what you could call difficult situations, in that we haven't had scholarships.
Yeah.
And even Division III, our admission requirements are very, very tough, and we do not have special admits, and it's actually, I think, a strength for our program. Uh-huh. So we're kind of like Stanford, if you will. I mean, the level of kids you've got to try to get in here. So recruiting pool is a little tighter, but again, that they're able to come in here and do the job academically. Our 600 student athletes actually have a comparable or higher GPA than the student body at large. And the three top majors among our athletes are engineering, biology, and economics. So we've got quite an impressive group.
Yeah, that's not bad.
As you would probably know, the facilities here, I'd say, would probably put us.
You're answering all my questions before I ask them. I was going to ask you about the facilities. You're doing it. I wanted to ask. You guys have a new baseball stadium. In terms of profile with a sport like water polo that's a little less known. I mean, you're super high profile there. I think RE/MAC having been around and watching some Big West hoops recently, RE/MAC would put you right where a lot of schools are. I mean, you're already kind of there in terms of a lot of the facilities. Is that where you were going?
Yeah, I would say that in the Big West, we are probably mid-pack at worst in terms of facilities.
Yeah.
And we're working on some things. Now, you mentioned the baseball field. In the last 5 years, we got lights out there. We basically renovated it, built a clubhouse, seating, press box. So there's some fields in the Big West that are better, but we're at least in the picture.
Yeah.
And we have, you mentioned we got 250-meter pools. We, for the last 10 years, probably 8 or 9 of those, we've led the NCAA in attendance for men's water polo. And we typically have, great support there. And we see, like I said, some of our sports being able to compete right away, I think.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. And even, even when you talk about, the soccer facility that you guys, at least the one that I remember, holds more people than a few of the schools that I've gone to watch, places that I've gone to watch Big West soccer at, even, here. So I think all the infrastructure really seems like it's maybe more ready than a lot of people think.
I think some people will be surprised.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, people don't understand, the whole area over there across the street at Spanos and all those things too. I mean, it's just like, people don't understand kind of the breadth of the size of the.
Right. You may not know this. The last summer, we opened up a new facility over at the Spanos, which is above the track field stadium. We have a new strength and conditioning area, which is top notch.
Nice, nice, very good. What's the tone of things around campus right now? I know you talked about, the last time and it being kind of a perfect storm. And I know a lot of UC San Diego grads, I was, I was in the pep band at UCSD too. And, you know, I know a lot of people who are maybe wary in terms of, you know, UCSD, I don't know how they would describe it, maybe like losing a little bit of its, like, you know, uniqueness or quirkiness. Because, you know, for as great of an academic institution as it is, it's consistently ranked, you know, like top 10 or 15 in the U.S. or the world. I mean, I see these, you know, these really great, you know, rankings, et cetera. And at the same time, kind of keeping things in terms of athletics not as big. And some people kind of like that on some level. What's the tone been, I guess, around campus? What's the tone been with the students? I'm sure you guys are paying attention to it.
Sure. I think we'll find out a little bit more in about a week or so. Right now, they're in the middle of the general elections for AS Council, that kind of thing. So people were focused on that. I don't think we'll see exactly what the sentiment is until that's over and done with. But I can tell you for sure that I feel a lot more confident than I did last time. And I feel like I said, part of it's because we've been more proactive and we're more prepared. I think that people look at this, and the students are starting to look at this as a natural evolution for the campus. And you mentioned quirkiness and that kind of stuff. I don't really see us like that so much. And I think that people were saying, hey, if we can be great in academics, why can't we be great at both of them? They're not mutually exclusive. And we've kind of used Stanford as a model, and we've had some people from Stanford down here to kind of talk to our staff, coaches and administrators. We talk about how they do it and how they make it work. And, and like I told you, like I said before, we consider our academic situation a positive. It's a strength for us.
Well, you have to. And Cal, you know, a school up here in San Luis Obispo and Cal Poly also, you know, talks a lot about that when, you know, when I talk to people here, you know, that's something that they, you know, bring up consistently and constantly, and you have to when your standards are a certain level, and when those standards aren't going to change. I think it's you know, it's an important thing to sell it instead of look at it as kind of a negative too.
One thing that's important here for us too, and this may be more so than some other school, like you talked about Davis making the move, we have a different situation than San Diego. I mean, one of the things that we're looking at is, and this is really a key to this, is this is really almost as important for the university as it is for our program. Mm-hmm. I mean, certainly there's going to be benefits for us, but I believe in the big picture, the benefits to the university are going to outweigh what we get athletically. Being able to align with institutions that are more like us academically. I mean, I don't know if you're familiar with the AAU, the Association of American Universities, but there are 62 prestigious research institutions in the country that are in this group. We're one of them. We're the only Division II school in the group. We're also the only Division I school, the only public institution in the group that's not Division I. So it kind of begs the question, why aren't we with our academic brethren? And the branding, the visibility, the awareness, the increased media, being able to leverage the brand of your opponents, that is going to help us immensely. We're a school that, as you said, incredible academically, incredible location, all these things, and people don't know about us. Yeah. And this is, Division I is going to help elevate this university into a different level. And I think it's going to help with the student experience here, help with alumni community engagement, and inevitably push our rankings up even higher.
Yeah.
As well as the prestige and recognition.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Here with Ken. So
the value
Gross,
of your degree is going to be going up.
That's,
with Division I.
Yeah. I mean, that's what I'm saying. You know, when I tell somebody I went to UC San Diego, you know, 10 years ago, it was like, oh, which one is that in San Diego again? I know it's not San Diego State, but which one is that? Is that the one that's blah, blah, blah? No, it's the one in La Jolla, the one right by the beach, you know, the Tritons. And that was something that I read in a Union Tribune article. You know, there was a former tennis player, I think, who got quoted, you know, he said, you know, that there seems to be a lack of identity, where students are more likely to say, for example, the college they attend rather than the university itself. So I thought, you know, it's definitely an interesting, you know, dynamic, and I'm excited to see where it goes. I definitely agree with you. I'm definitely in the camp that, you know, things are, when people know more about where you went to school, they're more likely to take it more seriously, and value of degree is definitely an important thing. You talked about what you guys have done in terms of preparation. Can you expand on that a little bit? You know, talking about your department being a little bit better prepared to answer certain questions, and where you guys feel like you're at in terms of preparation for if this thing goes.
Well, one thing is that this is a student generated effort, actually, and so we've been trying to do a lot in the lead up to this to educate our student athletes about what we're doing, what the benefits are for the university, because in the end they're the ones that are going to be out there on campus, because we're not allowed to be out campaigning and be trying to get people to vote. It's a student-generated effort. So our biggest thing has been, even for the last two or three years, has been getting out to not only student groups, but getting out to faculty and staff groups and educating them on what this means. Because you'd be surprised. A lot of people have no idea what we do, have no idea what Division 1, 2, and 3 is. So we've gone through a process where we've been educating the campus about this. And so it's not such a surprise. Yeah. And we're asking about the concerns and answering those concerns and what it means. And again, some people see some of the academic improprieties that happen at some Division 1 schools that get a lot of play in the paper. And we can tell them, hey, the admission standard, we don't control admissions. The admission standards, with our blessing, are they going to be the same as they are now? And we are good with that. And so the campus feels like, hey, that's okay. This isn't going to be maybe that big of a change. And sure, the level of competition will be higher, but the rewards will be higher. And the rewards and the benefits of the university will be greater.
Got it. Are the admission standards exactly the same for athletes right now as they are for other students? Like, how does that work? I know, like, up here, when I asked about it, there's like a, there's a special, committee in certain cases. I know in different schools it's a little bit different how that happens. Is it exactly the same process? Is there a sliding scale? I know it's going to be tougher than most other schools.
There's a scale, but it's more of a guideline. It helps our coaches recruit. You have to have some kind of things have to be a little bit different in order to be able to recruit. I don't mean by getting a lesser qualified individual. It's sort of a timing type thing. I mean, if Davis, Santa Barbara, Cal Poly are all telling somebody that they're going to be able to get in February, we can't do it till March or April, that's a problem.
Right. That puts you at a. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. But essentially, yes, we are getting in the same way. I mean, there may be a difference in we get what we call a pre-eval here where they take all the test scores and all the classes and grades people have gotten and tell them, hey, we think based on this, if you do this, yes, you will be able to get in. So that gives them a little bit of a head start, but it doesn't change the requirements.
Yeah. That's great. You mentioned, sorry to cut you off. I know you're on a time crunch a little bit too. You mentioned the fact that you guys have started to give scholarships at the Division II level. Are you guys a fully funded Division II program right now? And
it's kind of interesting. We Division II about 5 years into our time there here at Division II changed their legislation so that you had to offer a minimum. I think it was $250,000 worth of athletic scholarship money.
Got it.
So we did it in a uniquely UCSD way. Every athlete who made any one of our teams got $500.
Okay.
So that roughly, there was an academic component to it. They had to keep up a certain GPA to keep their scholarship. And so it's the $500. And so, yes, that met the requirement, but as you can guess, $500 is not going to help you recruiting too much.
Right.
So we have done that. And then in the last, I think, 2 years ago, started phasing in where we allowed coaches to take or teams to take that money they were allotted and use it any way they wanted. So some teams have, given some elevated amounts of scholarship money to people, but it really hasn't changed things significantly. We don't have fully funded Division II, not at all, not
right.
even close.
Right, and so this move to Division I, I mean, obviously you have to do a certain number of scholarships there too.
Sure.
And obviously, and it's a big change and a big thing. But it's also a transition. So, both in terms of like funding programs, I know that's big into what you're into, and it's a lot of details. So you can talk, I guess globally about it. And then also in terms of just timeline, if this thing goes in May, what is your guys' timeline? And then like for a program like a men's basketball program or a tennis program or a soccer program, what does that look like? And kind of moving in, down one, two, 4 or 5 years down the road, is it something that obviously the goal is always to have fully funded Division I programs? But what does that realistically look like, both in terms of funding and then just in terms of timeline for you guys? I know it's kind of two questions.
Well, no, it's a lot of points there, and I'll try to get as many as I can.
Yeah.
The money that we're asking for in this referendum, if it passes, we feel we're going to have a very solid scholarship program in terms of the Big West. we plan on, you're probably familiar with the Big West seven core sports.
Yep.
We plan on fully funding scholarship wise for all those seven. And we have several other sports that we feel would be competitive right away or have a history of success that we would likely fully fund. And then the other sports we look at and what we think it will take from a funding perspective based on what the other Big West schools are doing for us to be competitive in the conference. So if this passes, if May 20th we find out that this referendum is passed, the next step is to get an invitation from the Big West. And we're hoping that could happen soon. If it happens within a certain time frame, we would hope that we would be able to start collecting this referendum fee in next fall.
Great.
And if that happens, we would have to take probably about a year to ramp up our scholarship program to be able to apply for Division I, because you have to have your scholarship package or your program in place before you can even apply. So, again, all things go the way we'd like them to go. We're talking about the fall of 17 actually applying and then moving through the NCAA transition process from there.
Got it. And how long that application process, obviously, you know, it's a lot of pre-work before you actually apply. Once you apply, is it a pretty quick thing where you'd be starting?
Having gone through it, and again, knowing that some of the other things we've done in that sort of area have been a little hard to pin down, I'd rather not say that.
Yeah, no. I'm just trying to
leave that up to the NCAA.
And when things are left up to them, you sometimes don't know time-wise. The seven core sports I'm picturing, men's and women's basketball, volleyball, men's soccer, women's soccer, baseball, and softball?
Correct.
Okay. All right, cool. And so looking forward, it's definitely going to be a 2 or 3 or 4 year kind of process, yes, to even get into Division I, kind of have the plan to be
but
in a conference, hopefully.
We'd be playing a Division I schedule fairly quickly, but again, not have full access to postseason, those kinds of things.
Sure. Okay. So that could be happen as early as 2017 or 2018, potentially.
The application, yeah.
Right, the application for it. And playing the schedules could happen that soon as well, probably?
Likely.
Okay. All right, cool. That gives me a good picture. What else am I missing? Are there some key components here? I mean, obviously San Diego.
I'll tell you one of them.
Yeah.
One key component that I see, this is from the Big West side. We're in San Diego.
That's what I was going to, that's where I was going to go. The
market.
The market
now comes into play for the Big West.
Yep.
And that's, you can look at it in a lot of different ways, but I mean, the San Diego market could be on its own, just the way the other schools are laid out, could be the biggest market, I'm not sure what the right word is here, but the biggest market in the Big West.
Like market share? Yeah, because LA market share, I mean, you talk about USC and UCLA and you got about, 12 other schools at varying levels to compete with.
I went to Long Beach State, and you look at what's Long Beach State's market.
Right.
So it's you're in the LA market, but what part of that market are you really drawing from?
Right. You're drawing from.
I would say we really, just the way the geography works, we could be able to draw from the whole county.
Absolutely, and especially a whole northern part of the county, the North Coast. That, as somebody I know, I know you do a lot of fundraising and other things. I mean, that's got to be, very exciting when it comes to, being able,
sure,
to provide this kind of action this close. And again, it's always a reason why I've told people, if you can get a recruit, to La Jolla Shores and you can get, people in that area, funding programs, I just think it's going to be a I see a lot of potential for growth. Let me just put it that way.
Sure. You look at the benefits for us athletically, and I mean, we're in a town where you have a number of professional teams, Padres,
yeah,
Chargers, we hope.
Don't forget about the San Diego Gulls.
Yeah, San Diego Gulls, minor league hockey.
Yeah.
You've got Del Mar, Ray Shuck. You've got,
yeah,
two other Division I schools here. So we need to get to Division I to break into that,
yeah,
group.
Yeah.
And
absolutely.
So I think that, again, the alumni and community engagement is going to happen with that. And when people start finding out what we have here and what our kids are all about, I think they're going to be really impressed.
Absolutely. And the facilities are, like you said, they're kind of there. They're top notch for Division II, and certainly, going to hold their own in the Big West. That's for sure. Having been to a few of those places. Absolutely. The other thing about the Big West I talk about, it's geographically, it makes sense. It makes sense in terms of the other schools that are there. And it has most schools that don't have football, which is you guys too. And so You know, it definitely you know, matches up on all those levels, and is something that, you know, I'll you know, I'm just gonna say it, I'll be rooting for it. My website's not called, you know, Impartial. It's called Fansmanship, and so that's what I like to do. I like to kind of you know, get in there, and
you're a fan.
I am a fan. I try to be a fan, and you know, it's kind of the fun of athletics and the fun of sports, and certainly you know, the men's basketball team this year. Give me an update about, you know, UCSD athletics. Men's basketball team won a NCAA tournament game for the first time ever this year. Is that right, in D2?
Yes, we. You know, when we moved to Division II, it's interesting. And I look at this as how it's going to be in Division I.
Yeah, well. I was there for the D2 move. Yep.
D2 sports that everybody said we will never be able to compete in Division II without scholarships were men's basketball and baseball. Baseball, we'll start there. That program, first 2 years, I don't think we won a series in the conference. We finished dead last, and it was kind of get a nightmare playing out, but we rose to the occasion. We rose to the level, and from Dan O'Brien now through our current coach Eric, I mean, we are a major player, not just in our conference and the West region, but nationally. I mean, we've been to the World Series a couple times, and you know, we've been able to build the facility up, and that's now one of our top programs.
Yep.
And basketball, I mean, men's basketball now under our third year coach Eric Olin, they have they went to the NCAA tournament for the second time this year in Division II. We were ranked nationally most of the year, made it to Sweet 16. And our women's basketball also had a big year, 25-plus wins. They made it to the Sweet 16 as well. And so those, you know, again, our top sports or our most high-profile sports are doing well. Soccer's always been a very strong program for us. You mentioned water polo, both men's and women's, are perennially right there around the top 10 nationally in Division I without having scholarships. So it's, you know, we've had a good year this year. Our swimming program is very good. Volleyball's been very, on the women's side, has been very good. And yeah. Volleyball's a sport on the men's side. They're competing in the NPSF. And I believe they'll be, when we get scholarship, that's a sport that will make the biggest turnaround for us.
Oh, yeah. That could be huge for, yeah, absolutely, in the NPSF. And obviously another sport that doesn't compete in the NPSF, but that does compete. Do they compete? Does water polo compete at Division I? How does that work?
Yeah, they're actually in the WWPA, which
right.
Has
LMU and yeah,
LMU, yeah,
and others. So
Davis is in there.
So do they? I mean, do you guys? Is your water polo program? I mean, there's not like divisions in water polo, right? It's just one thing, or
one,
do you, yeah.
Okay. There's three, one and three.
Oh, there's one and three. So, okay, yeah.
Yeah, in division in WAPA, we've won the conference championship 3 years in a row.
Yeah,
and we've been to the NCAA championships 3 years in a row. We've actually hosted it. In 2014.
Oh yeah, absolutely. And I lived with a water polo goalie in college back in the turn of this, you know, 2002, 2003. They won the WWPA that year as well. And I learned the answer to what do you do when you're a college student who walks into your apartment and there's a 280-pound water polo player sleeping on your couch? You leave him there. You don't wake him up. And that's the answer to that.
Put some food outside.
That's all. That's all. Just try to, you know, try to move him away. You know, it's the 2 meter guy, who's usually the big guy. You know, I'm excited. You know, UC San Diego, of course, you know, is definitely, you know, a lot more like Davis and Santa Barbara than they are like Santa Cruz or UC Merced or UCSF, which doesn't even have undergrads. And it's going to be, you know, definitely an exciting time for those of us who are alums, and hopefully, you know, the 10th team in the Big West, there's some symmetry to it. I think it makes a ton of sense. And to me, it makes too much sense not to happen. But I really appreciate the time here today. And then maybe once the vote's over, maybe we can chat again and talk in a little bit more definitive terms, in terms of you know, what's next and what's next for the athletic program there, kind of at large.
Sure thing. Thanks for having me.
Awesome. Thanks, Ken. Have a great day.
Well, I've been stuck on down in Trouble Town. It's a lonely place, it's true. Street lights so bright they blind my vision. The people on the streets, they beat me up till I'm black and blue. You lift me up, don't bring me down. You give your love to everyone around.
sometimes